John chapter 19. It's a day that the world, well, Americans at least get together to honor our mothers. And we should. Because very seldom do you see a sailor with dad tattooed on his chest. It's almost always mom. Well, there's something to that. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world, it's been said. So let's look at a mother, Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, Mary and Eve deserve some distinction in the scriptures. Now, the Catholics go way too far with it in venerating Mary. She's not God, and she's not the mother of God, but she is the mother of Jesus. And so let's take a look at Mary and some of the things that she had to go through, because for women, life has been a veil of tears from the Garden of Eden, even until today, and even Mary, the mother of Jesus, did not escape that fate. So, John chapter 19, and beginning in verse number 25. John chapter 19, beginning in verse number 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own. It says home there, but unto his own means more than home. He was to care for her for the rest of her life. And it's kind of interesting that John is the only one of the disciples that died a natural death. All the rest were martyred, cut off early. Let's pray. Our dear Lord, as we look into your word this morning, I pray that you'd bless us. Lord, open our hearts to receive the message that you have for us. And Lord, help us to lift up our hearts to be thankful for the mothers that you've given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I think that was a real Mother's Day there, not the one that we celebrate, but a real Mother's Day. And I think it's interesting in verse number 25, if I could attract your attention to that once more. The scripture says, Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. You know, the scripture says in another place in the Garden of Gethsemane, then all the disciples forsook him and fled. That would have included John. But now we see, as the crucifixion is unfolding in history, that John has returned. And isn't it interesting that he wasn't the only one that was at the cross. We see these women. His mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. Isn't it interesting how that of all of the 12, only one shows up at this moment? And yet, all these women did. And it took real courage to do what they're doing here. The reason that they have crucified Jesus is because not only were the Pharisees afraid of losing their place and their power as the religious cabal that led Israel, but when Pilate was threatened with the fact that Jesus was greater than Caesar, Pilate capitulated as well. That was the threat. that made it turn the corner. If you don't crucify this man, you're not Caesar's friend. And we'll remember that there was a superscription over that cross written in three languages, the languages of the entire world. It wasn't just the Pharisees that crucified the Lord Jesus. Let us not forget that Pilate was made friends with the Pharisees concerning the crucifixion of Christ. The whole world conspired together. And so there'd be no quarter for those that would come to the foot of the cross and identify themselves with the Lord Jesus. But his mother was there. And so were several other women, and only his beloved disciple John. That was it. Let's turn to Luke chapter 2, shall we? Luke chapter 2. What sets the stage for this scene? Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and verse number 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. So we have Simeon here. He's a devout man, and what's he waiting for? The consolation of Israel, which, if he were to define it, was what? He was waiting for the Messiah. Absolutely. And the Holy Ghost is upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, his fondest desire. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus for to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up into his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Interesting, a Jew would say this. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Were they really spoken of him? He agreed with it. But is this the Holy Spirit speaking? Yes. Simeon agrees with it. Verse 34, And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Well, what has Simeon got to say here, and who is he saying it to? In verse number 33, we see it's Joseph and his mother. And they marvel at those things which were spoken of him. Now, why do you suppose the scripture says they marveled at those things which were spoken of him? Is Simeon the first to make an announcement concerning who Jesus is and the fact that he's coming? John the Baptist has been around for a while. John the Baptist is 6 months older than the Lord Jesus. What happened concerning the birth of John the Baptist? What were the surrounding circumstances?
Well, Mary went to be with her cousin Elizabeth, and the baby left in her in Elizabeth.
Yes, that's true. And we see that Elizabeth and Mary have something to say concerning that, but before that took place, let's take Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist.
Struck dumb until John was born.
Yes. Yeah.
John, which the angel told him.
Mm-hmm.
He had a vision, and actually the angel told him also about Jesus.
Exactly so. He's going to be the forerunner, just like it was written in the book of Malachi. Absolutely. So there was an announcement before this scene that we're looking at here took place. And then, as Mary has said, yes, there was that instance where the babe leapt in her womb. And so, isn't it interesting that Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him? Could they have known?
Well, they knew that she was going to bear the Messiah. They knew. They'd both been visited by an angel.
Yes, but why did they marvel here?
Maybe because this ruler in Jewish law is acknowledging Jesus for who he is.
Okay, yes. That's a possibility.
I was thinking more because Mary and Joseph probably knew this from what they'd been told, but didn't know that anybody else had been told.
Maybe, but it doesn't seem like it's exactly that, because verse 33 says, Joseph and his mothers marveled at those things which were spoken of him. So it isn't the fact that they would speak, it's the things that are being said.
Is it the Gentile part?
Yeah, that could really loom large. Remember, these are Jews, and they all do have that disposition to believe in a certain fashion, which we see in John chapter 8. But do you suppose that there's just a tad bit of unbelief here? Yeah, I think that's going to come afterwards. Verse 33 says, Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him, and then something else happens. Verse 34, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother. Now he's speaking directly to Mary. Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Now, she was probably just fine with the first part of that, but might the last part have been some cause for concern?
You're reading about it in John 8 right now?
Yes, we indeed are. In John chapter 8, who are you? Verse 34, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. Do you suppose that she heard one part of this equation more than the other? What's this fall business? The fall and rising again. Well, I think the many in Israel would rule out speaking to Jesus himself at this particular juncture. The fall and rising again of many in Israel. This is a long time prophecy here, a long term prophecy. Prophecy concerning the nation of Israel. Of course. What happens in 70 AD? There's a huge fall of Israel. They're uprooted out of the land, this time not to return for 2,000 years, roughly. It makes that 70 years they spent in captivity before that look pretty small. That's a huge fall, but there's a rising again. Would you look at Israel today and say that they have risen again? No, they're gathered together, it's true, but they're gathered together in unbelief.
And there's just a few of them.
So, yeah, that's true, just a few. So what's this rising again? Yeah, when the Lord Jesus comes again at the conclusion of the Battle of Armageddon, then they'll see him and they'll mourn for him who they pierced, and all Israel will be saved in a single day. That's quite a rising again. But if you were putting yourself in the place of Mary, this sounds pretty ominous, doesn't it? I mean, how much lower can Israel go? The Romans are right here with their guidons set up outside our temple. We've got a puppet Idumean on the throne. How much lower could it go? Well, it's going to go, yeah. But that's particular to Mary. So verse 34, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. A sign which shall be spoken against. Now everybody wants to be popular. Mark Zuckerberg would be out of business if they didn't. I think that people that sign up with him, he should be called Mark Zuckerberg. Yeah. Well, what's the import of this? Mary's hearing this now. For a sign which shall be spoken against? Of course. He's not going to be popular right now, Mary. And what's this sign that shall be spoken against? What sign? What's wrong with the Jews saying in John chapter 8, who are you? Has he already given signs? Of course. Of course. Just believe for the miracle's sake. That'd be good enough. And there were miracles. A sign which should be spoken against? How could you speak against that? Somebody returning sight to the blind? Excuse me. Somebody that was born blind from birth? How could you speak against a sign like that? He did good to everyone. How could you speak against a sign like that? What sign? What did those signs show? Well, Jesus, yes. Christ, yes. But what did we just look at in John chapter 8? The one thing that separates the lost from the saved? Unbelief in what? What was that verse that we looked at this morning in John chapter 8? Except you believe that I am. That's the sign that's spoken against. What did we learn in Romans chapter 8 concerning the natural mind? It's the enemy of God. God is the enemy of the human race. Isn't it interesting that they counted John as a prophet, but they wanted to crucify Jesus? What's the difference? And if Jesus was just a prophet, just a good teacher, as the world likes to say that he was, then why did they crucify him? Because he gave the sign that he is Jehovah God. That's the rub here. That's what we talked about in John chapter 8 this morning. Except you believe that I am, you shall die in your sins. Why won't they believe that he is? Because they hate him, because the natural mind is the enemy of God, and all the world hates God. And as Jesus pointed out in the parable of the vineyard, this is the heir. Let's kill him, and the vineyard shall be ours. It's really hard to get your mind around this, isn't it? What fallen man really is. Well, this is what Simeon is telling Mary. A sign that shall be spoken against. Have things changed in this day and age? No. No. Why do you suppose they wanted the Lord Jesus Christ out of the school system? And now they want him out of the public square? Because the world hates God. Because they're from beneath, and he's from above. They're of this world, and he is not of this world. And that's why he's a sign that's spoken against. Do you suppose that Joseph and Mary understood, I mean really understood, even though they were told, that this child is Jehovah God? What did the angel tell Mary at the time she conceived? He said something about this child in your womb is the Son of God. Verse 35. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. Uh-oh, Mary, now it's getting personal. Who does a mother love more than anything else in all the world? Her children, and especially a son. If you had lived in the Orient in these days, as a matter of fact, if you lived in the Orient today, that firstborn son has very great significance. He's the one that gets the double portion. He's the desire of every mother and father. And here he is, the Lord Jesus, the firstborn son. And Simeon says, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul. Interesting. Usually we think of the sword piercing through the heart, don't we? Simeon says, your soul. Much, much deeper. And, Mary, there's a purpose in this. Verse 35, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. What does the world hate almost more than anything else, even today? How about a fair-minded judge? The world hates a fair-minded judge. They love corrupt judges, which is why there are so many of them. But they hate a fair judge because a fair judge every time will do what?
The right thing.
The right thing. And the world isn't into doing the right thing, is it? The thoughts of many hearts shall be revealed. What's going on in John chapter 8 again? The thoughts of many hearts are being revealed, and Mary is going to bear the brunt of a lot of this, because she's not from above. She is not the mother of God, as the Catholics would say. She's the mother of Jesus, which makes her no less a mother. But the idea of being the mother of one who is going to judge the whole world of which she is a part, that must have been scary. And now it all comes out at the foot of the cross. Back to John chapter 19 again. Now it's all come full circle. Everything that Simeon had to say in John chapter 19, let us first look at verse number 19. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, And the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Well, now the Jews would probably take umbrage at that. But in the next verse, this title then read many of the Jews, for the place in which Jesus was crucified was nigh unto the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Now, do you suppose Pilate knew what he was doing when he said, "What I have written, and oh, by the way, fellas, put that in three different languages on that sign, and be sure you hang it up to where everybody can see it as they pass by." Who's standing at the foot of the cross now and looking at the sign? And especially who we're talking about this morning, Mary, the mother of Jesus. She's looking up at that sign. What do you suppose she's thinking? Of course, the sword is piercing through her soul. But what did Simeon say in addition to that? That the thoughts of many hearts should be revealed. Is she standing there saying, "Yep, I see it now. Now I see what's going on, and when I look at that sign, I'm utterly amazed. This is the man that commanded that my son be hung on this cross, and he writes this?" Remember, the Jews got upset about this and said, "No, no, no, right? He said, 'I'm king of the Jews.'" And Pilate's response was, "What I have written, I have written. This is non-negotiable, boys. Oh, and by the way, put it up there in three languages, would you?" What is Pilate doing here? Isn't he bearing witness to Jesus? Exactly. This is the King of the Jews. The whole world should know that. And if they started doing a little bit of research, what would they find out concerning the King of the Jews? It wasn't Saul. It wasn't even David. Who is he saying is King of the Jews? This Jesus that's hung on the cross. Do you think that that's going to reveal a lot of hearts? And Mary is there watching all of this. Then let's go to our text for this morning. Verse number 25. "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene." Who do you think that Mary thinks Jesus is by this time? Just think back to the wedding at Cana of Galilee that took place a long time before this scene. What does she ask Jesus to do? Yeah, and on what basis does she ask him to do that?
Well, she knew he could do it.
Which would indicate he is... Yeah, exactly who Simeon said that he was. Exactly who Gabriel said that he was. She believed it. And what did Jesus say back to her? "Yeah, mine hour is not yet come." Do you suppose that sunk in? "I'm going to do this for you. But this isn't the proof." What is the proof? 3 days later. Absolutely. Verse 26, "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by him who he loved," he did love John. After all the disciples have forsaken him and fled, when it was maybe relatively safe, now they come back and it's not relatively safe here. John returns. Suppose Jesus knew that before the world began. And notice it's to him that he bequeaths his mother. Woman, behold thy son. John, behold thy mother. Yes, he is Jehovah God. But what does this scene show us? A mother's love and a son's love for his mother doesn't make her the mother of God. Because isn't it interesting here? He says to her, woman. That sounds kind of impersonal to us, but what is he really saying? Yes. Yeah. Do you think she believed? Of course she did. And yet, do you think she was a bit surprised when he rose that morning? But not as surprised as those disciples were. Isn't that something? Mothers tend to believe in their sons. You can go up to Canyon City, check out the list of inmates and interview their mothers, and there's not a guilty one in the bunch. That's how mothers are. But what does that show us about Jesus? Why did he become a human being? Is he speaking as a human here from the cross? Yeah, he really is. Doesn't this show that he has human love for his mother? And he has human love for John, the disciple that Jesus loved? How did God make the captain of our salvation perfect? What does that verse say? Through the things that he suffered, he was found in fashion as a man. He made the captain of our salvation perfect through actually becoming a human being, while in no wise giving up any of his divinity, but by becoming a human being. He was touched by the feeling of our infirmities. He knew what his mother was feeling. And he had a feeling for her. The Chinese have a saying that heaven is high and the emperor is far away, meaning that the cat's away and the mice can play. But what do we see in this scene? Heaven has come to earth. And the emperor is not far away, and he understands our frame. Let's pray.